Thank you for tuning in to the Living Bread Podcast. We hope that your spirit will be lifted and your heart comforted by today's sermon. Pastor Brian Bohr is the senior pastor at Living Bread Church and is a passionate minister of the grace and blessing of God. In today's series, learn how to change your world through the blessing given by God. No matter what the circumstance, the blessing of God can overpower your troubles and turn your life in a new direction. Now, here is Pastor Brian Bohr in part two of his three-part series titled, You Can't Curse What God Has Blessed.
Praise the Lord. Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise.
What a joy it is to be in the house of God tonight. Go with me in your Bible, if you would, to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, we're going to look at the same text scriptures that we looked at last night. Then we're going to move a little bit further into what we're talking about the blessing of God. Notice right here, the Bible said in Mark the 10th chapter, we're just going to pick up right here, verse 15, verily I say unto you, of course this is Jesus speaking, it's in the red. He said, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter therein. And of course, he's not referring to heaven. He's talking about the kingdom of God. And he said, you know, he explains here that a child has the ability just to enter in fearlessly. And many people think that he's speaking about, you know, people going to heaven and people not going to heaven, but he's talking about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is right here among us. The kingdom of God is within us. The kingdom of God is principles and a system. And once a person learns that system, those principles, that system and those principles and those keys will work for anybody, regardless of who they are. The principles will work. And Jesus was the perfect example of somebody that demonstrated these principles. He operated in these principles. And so the children were coming up to him, and the disciples wouldn't allow the children to come up to Jesus. And he said, allow them to come. And then the Bible said in verse 16, he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. The Amplified Bible said, fervently invoked a blessing, placing his hands upon them. He fervently invoked a blessing. So my question was, how to invoke a blessing? My title was, how to evoke a blessing? How do you invoke a blessing? Because that's what the Spirit of the Lord said unto me for these meetings right here so far. How do you invoke a blessing upon somebody? Well, we give three ways. Number one, the first way to evoke a blessing upon somebody, and the word evoke mainly we're talking about is the word impart. Impart. We don't use the term evoke anymore in our everyday language, but we do use the word impart. How to impart a blessing. And it's very powerful just to understand that the blessing of God is impartable. That's just one key right there, to understand that the blessing of God is impartable. And once it's imparted to your life and activated in your life, it begins to raise you up out of all kinds of situations. So the first way that the blessing is imparted is through the hearing and the knowledge of that blessing. If you do not know there is a blessing, and if you don't have knowledge of that blessing, then it's not activated in your life. But the moment you hear this blessing, it's activated. You don't have to sit under this 19 years. You don't have to sit under this 19 hours. The moment you hear it, praise God, it's activated in your life at that moment. And so you need to understand what I'm trying to say unto you in a polite way. The blessing's activated right now on the inside of you. And the blessing's lifting you up out of the curse. The blessing's lifting you up out of desperate situations. The blessing's lifting you up out of the pit, hard places. The blessing's lifting you out of pain of your past, praise God. The blessing's activated, and the blessing will bring promotion. It brings promotion to us. We saw that the blessing brought promotion as we studied the scriptures last night to Abraham. God called him, God blessed him, then God increased him, praise God. So the blessing, we can say it this way, the blessing brings increase in your life. And the blessing allows you to bless other people. That was the blessing on Abraham, that you shall be a blessing. You're not only going to be blessed, but you're going to be a blessing. And so once you begin to hear and you have knowledge of the blessing of God, that is the engrafting part into your life. When you begin to hear, because Jesus said, take heed what you hear. And whatever measure you measure a subject, whatever measure you measure it, it shall be measured unto you. And he said, he that hath, more shall be given unto him, but he that hath not, that which he hath shall be taken away. Now, first of all, this doesn't even make sense to me when I read this. The one that has, more shall be given unto him, and the one that does not have, that which he has shall be taken away. And I'm thinking, you know, just blessings and maybe materialistic things. And I'm thinking money, you know, he that hath money, more money shall be given. But he that has no money, that which he has shall be taken away. But he's not talking about money. He's talking about knowledge. And the knowledge of God, when the knowledge of God is working on the inside of you, not just education, not just book knowledge, but we're talking about inspired knowledge. The scripture is inspired. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. All scripture is God-breathed. The breath of God is in the word of God. The same breath that God breathed into Adam, he breathed into Adam, the Bible said, blew into Adam. And the Bible said he became a living soul. That same breath is in the word of God. The word inspiration is the word God breathed. And so when you begin to meditate and have knowledge of the word of God, it opens up the blessing of God upon you. And the more knowledge you have, the more shall be given unto you through that door of knowledge, revelation knowledge. But he that hath no revelation knowledge working on the inside of them, that which he hath shall be taken away, because there is a thief among us. And the enemy loves to find people that do not have the knowledge of God operating in their life. And I like to say it this way, and this does not mean that I disbelieve what other people say about this, but I like to say the number one enemy to the believers, the lack of knowledge of redemption, the lack of knowledge of the finished work of Christ, the lack of knowledge of what Jesus has done. The number one enemy is not the devil. Jesus dealt with the devil. He dealt with the devil. He knew you and I could not deal with him. Amen. We've never seen anybody deal with the devil like Jesus dealt with the devil. Jesus dealt with the devil, so you and I, praise God, can keep him in his place and not give him place. We keep him in his place. Praise God. And so when you understand and have knowledge of the blessing of God, the blessing begins to work on the inside of you. When you hear that blessing, it's activated in your life. The blessing is activated right now in Longview, Texas, in my life. The moment I'm hearing this, it's activated in my life, fixing things that I could not fix. Fixing things I've been believing God to fix. Fixing my husband, fixing my wife, and I've been believing, you know, for them to be fixed for years. Now this blessing, praise God, will fix them, and you just enter into a rest knowing the blessing is activated. Amen. The blessing's activated, I said. The blessing's activated. So basically all you have to do is hear the blessing. Amen. Speak the blessing and associate with those that have the blessing. That's what we do. That's what a church is. It's a community of believers. It's an association. We hear the word, we speak the word, and we associate. We hear, we speak, we associate. This is a community. It's important to associate one with another, because when you associate with people that have the same type of spirit that you do, praise God, it brings you up. It keeps you motivated. Amen. Because the blessing is contagious. People that have the blessing like to hang out with the people that speak the blessing. So it's very dangerous sometimes to go to a family reunion. Because many times those at the family reunion, they don't have the blessing. They're not speaking the blessing. Amen. And so when you begin to activate this blessing, number one is through the door of knowledge. When you begin to hear this blessing, it's activated in your life. And I like to say it this way, the way the Holy Spirit said it unto me, it's unparalleled blessing, unprecedented blessing. We haven't seen the blessing like we are seeing the blessing in the Spirit. I'm seeing it in the Spirit. It's activated. It's unprecedented. What we mean by the term unprecedented mean we've never seen it like this before. We've never seen it on this fashion before. We have nothing in the past to compare it with. If we compare it with any move of in the past, we're doing it an injustice. We have nothing to compare it with because it's unparalleled, praise God. It's greater than anything we've ever walked in before. Amen. And so when you begin to declare that, you know, I have the unprecedented blessing upon me, unparalleled to anything I've ever had, you're activating, you're agreeing with it. Let me give you these synonyms just at the beginning here about the word blessing, what we're talking about, defining the blessing. Number one, when I begin to define the blessing, I'm defining it beyond what you were, praise God, believing for. I can't hardly read my own writing. Beyond what you were believing for. The blessing is beyond what you were believing for. Whatever you're believing for, the blessing is beyond that. It's greater than that. Beyond your believing. Hallelujah. You know, even our believing sometimes is limited to knowledge. And our believing sometimes is even a work. You know, I'm believing. I tell you right now, Pastor, I'm believing. Well, you need to drop the I, amen, and get the I out of it. Knock the I out. Dot your I. And just begin to understand, praise God, it's beyond what you're believing God for. Because when Abraham believed God, he was believing in something that he had never seen. He had never experienced. And if you have knowledge of what you want and desire, you know, you could be limiting because you're saying, I want this and I want that. But this is beyond, you know, activated knowledge that we got right now. It's things that we've never walked in before. Unexpected things happening to us. Amen. And so the blessing is preferential treatment upon you. It's honor, it's benefits, it's endowments, it's open doors, it's special attention given unto you, it's backing, it's bigger than your dream. Wouldn't it be tremendous to come into this and find out that we've been dreaming way too small? Amen. We ought to hold fast to the Colosseum. I don't know what Colosseum you have here in Longview, but we ought to believe God that we're preaching in the Colosseum, the biggest place to preach in Longview. Does anybody know what that is? The what? Yeah. So, you know, there's all kinds of places. So we need to picture ourselves believing God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Bigger than where we are. All things are possible to him that believes. He believes. Amen. All things are possible to him that believes. All things are possible to him, Jesus, that believes. All things are possible to him that believes. All things are possible to him that believes. My faith is in him and he believes. Praise God. All things are possible to him. It used to be that all things are possible to you that believes. And if you could believe, you know, all things are possible. But shame on you because, you know, you haven't been walking in that because you haven't been believing. That's how we've always preached it. But if you would only believe, all things would be possible. But, you know, look at you. You haven't believed. But we found in the pure Greek there that when it says all things are possible to him that believed, Jesus actually was speaking perfect tense about himself. The guy said, you know, if you can, and Jesus said, if can, buts, and maybes. And it's no if, buts, and maybes about this right here. He said, praise God, all things are possible to him that believes. He's referring to himself. You put faith in me, praise God, all things are possible because I believe. Jesus believes. He's a perfect person to believe. He has perfect faith. When you put your faith in him, praise God, your faith lines up with perfect faith. So what else is the blessing? Walking in the fullness of God's goodness. Seeing promotion upon your family. When you see your family being promoted, understand the blessing that's upon you is causing them to be promoted. And let them know that's the blessing operating, because this is a family blessing. It's a family blessing. Used to be, we used to say, well, you know, you serve God. If you serve God like I serve God, you'd be blessed. You know, we put all kinds of conditions on our children, but undo all the conditions and just say it's a family blessing, praise God. It's a family blessing, amen, because there's no person here that's really, truly serving God to the fullness. You're just measuring your serving by yourself. Amen. You say, I tell you right now, you don't know what you're talking about, Buster. I'm serving God. Well, there's somebody next to you. Praise God. They've been fasting a lot longer than you have. Who's serving what? Now, the Holy Spirit said these words unto me about Jesus. He said, everything I did in my earth walk, I did for you. Not just the work of the cross. From the moment of temptation, from the moment where I fasted 40 days and 40 nights, I did that for you. I fasted for you. Because all prophets, to be a prophet, they had to have this 40-day fasting. Under this Old Testament, you know, they were qualified by their 40-day fasting. I don't know how many people in here has fasted 40 days, but I want to let you know, I haven't. You know what? Besides Daniel now, there's no scriptures telling you how much you should fast. Daniel did a 21-day fast, and he was just telling you about his 21-day fast. So really, if you're going to get real scriptural about fasting, there's only one example of that. That's Jesus fasting 40 days, so you better get with the program on your little 3-day fast. Up bragging about it. I've been fasting for 3 days. I went to this church, and this lady came up to me, and she was depressed, had a headache, and she said, this is what I've been doing. She showed me a book on fasting. I haven't had a cup of coffee in 4 days, and I am sick. And I said, she said, will you pray for me? I said, yeah, I will. Father, bless this lady and let her go get her a cup of coffee right now in Jesus' name. I mean, what good is it to make yourself sick, and you're sick and you're oppressed, and you're walking around thinking you're doing something? Fasting, it's a good thing, but Jesus fasted for me. He not only died for me, he fasted for me. And what he did in the Garden of Gethsemane when he poured out his soul, you know, and prayed that prayer, not my will, but thy will be done. You know, that prayer of commitment that we've been trying to pray. I tell you right now, you need to sell out. How do you do that? You need to give it up. How do you do that? You need to give all. You need to give more. You need to sacrifice. You need to, you know, throw self under the bus. You need to crucify yourself. You know, everything that we talk about, how do you do all these things? Jesus did it. He poured out his soul. Amen. So everything, not just the cross, thank God, everything was powerful on the cross, but his whole life, he did for you and I. He came into this earth for you and I. He faced the devil for you and I, defeated the devil for you and I. It was accredited to you and I when he was in the wilderness and all temptation came upon him. He defeated the devil for you and I. Everything he did for you and I. Glory. Hallelujah. I don't know how I got on this, but I'm talking about promotion upon your family. I don't know how I got over there on that, but praise God. This blessing brings promotion on your family. Instead of telling your children, you know, you need to serve God like I do, just love God. Just love them. Just tell them Jesus loves them. God loves them. Let love draw them in. Amen? Praise God. Let love draw them in, but understand the blessing is still upon your children, bringing promotion to them. The next thing the blessing means, it means a restoration of all my losses. Instead of being depressed about my losses, the blessing is the power to restore all my losses, all your losses, everything that you have lost. How did you lose them? Well, through ignorance. Amen. How did you lose them? Well, you lost them deliberately. You made a mistake. You did things, you know, you shouldn't have done. You know, somehow you lost them. We blame it on the devil. You know, everything that happens. I want you to know, brother, pastor, the devil's really been working on me because my washing machine tore up. The devil's really working on me. I tell you right now, the devil doesn't care anything about your washing machine. He has nothing to do with your washing machine breaking down. Nothing to do with it whatsoever. You bought a cheap washing machine. You bought a secondhand washing machine. You got a hand-me-down washing machine anyway from the beginning. And that's not the devil's work. He's not saying, man, I'm really plotting against Freddie. Man, I'm getting ready to really upset him. I'm getting ready to mess up his washing machine. No. Praise God. Amen. But I tell you, I don't know how you lost, and whatever you lost in life, cheer up. The blessing restores all your losses. Everything you've lost in life, the blessing shall restore it. Woohoo! Glory to God. Amen. Now, when it comes to understanding unparalleled blessing, when we look at the term unparalleled, we're talking about never happened that way before. Unprecedented. New and beyond anything like it. Groundbreaking. Record-breaking. Revolutionary. Unqualified. Absolute. 100% irrevocable favor upon my life. That's what the blessing is. Grace is not permission to live immoral. Nobody preaches that. Grace is not the license to sin. The word license to sin, they get this from lasciviousness. Nobody preaches that you have the license to sin. People sin without license. They don't need license to sin. Grace is the power to deny ungodliness, Titus says. When grace is preached, when the power of favor is preached, it's the power to deny ungodliness. It begins to change your desires. From our word desires is where we get our word compulsion and addictions, which many people try to train people to be free. And thank God for any organization that trains people to be free from addictions. I'm for any organization that's doing good. But the grace of God changes the appetite on the inside of a person. It changes the appetite. Amen. It is a process when a person sits under the blessing of God, those things that have controlled you in your past, the memories that have controlled you in your past, those things begin to be altered, shaped, because when you sit under the Word of God and begin to hear the Word of God on knowledge of the blessing, your mind is being renewed. And when your mind is being renewed, according to Romans 12:2, he said, don't be conformed to this world, which actually means thinking like the world, recession-minded. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of this minister called Mike Mele. Someone sent me some CDs by Mike Mele, and I've never met him, never heard of him. And I began to listen to Mike Milley preach. And he began to teach on the favor of God. And I want to let you know, something began to operate because of the revelation that this guy had. Something began to operate in me, bringing me to a new level in my understanding. My mind was being washed. My mind was being renewed, not being conformed to this world, not having a recession-minded. Not having a mindset like Fox News or CNN News. Not having a mindset like my family. Amen. See, one of the first things that God wants you to do is break your family origin and get out from that family origin and begin to be engrafted and refathered from above, because when you're born again, not of a corruptible seed, it's a corruptible seed that brought you into this earth. But you're born of again of an incorruptible supernatural seed, meaning you've been refathered from above to think like God, think higher thoughts. Under the Old Testament, he plainly told him, he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Thoughts connecting to your ways. Your thoughts dictate your ways. Your thought produces your future. But when you begin to get under the New Testament and you get your mind renewed under the renewal process of hearing the word, meditating on the word, hearing, speaking, associating, next thing you're doing, you're going under supernatural psychology and supernatural psychiatry of the Holy Spirit. And then there is the word being transformed, where it is the word metamorphosis, where new thoughts begin to control your life and you begin to think differently. And you're being empowered because your thoughts begin to dictate the way. Your thoughts begin to dictate the future. It's not long that your thoughts in your life on the blessing of God begin to roll out of your tongue and you begin to speak those powerful thoughts. And it's not long your future begins to reshape itself. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how much corruption you've been in. But your future begins to reshape. That's why people love to send people to a program where they're there for several days, 21 days. You know, people tell you a habit is formed. That's why people love to stay in a place for a long period of time, because it takes the washing of the word to get this revelation on the inside of you. But the first step to walking in this blessing is begin to acknowledge it. And begin to declare, it's upon me, praise God. It's on me right now, in Jesus' name. Begin to declare, it's on me right now. It's advancing me, it's promoting me, it's restoring me, praise God. It's restoring my losses, it's promoting my children, in Jesus' name. Every good thing in life comes from the blessing. Jesus took them up in his arms and he blessed him. So the blessing is actually three ways imparted. Number one was through hearing it. Number two, it was spoken over them in a prophetic word. The prophetic voice under the inspiration of the Spirit. Now, anytime the word is being taught unto you, faith is being built. If your pastor says, meet me here every Wednesday night, and we're going to be studying, you know, on the subject of faith, healing, you know, or whatever subject it is, and he comes here with a sermon, a teaching, anytime that he's teaching or she's teaching, there is the word going forth, and there's something supernatural happening through that lesson or that message. But there comes a time in their life, and like tonight, that the Holy Spirit will drop a divine word in their heart, which is different than just teaching. It's a divine word being imparted unto them to bring change. And the Holy Spirit's dropped this word in my heart about the blessing. And so this blessing is just not Brian Bohr coming up with an organized teaching lesson and a message, which there's nothing wrong with that, but it is a prophetic word, an inspiring word from the Spirit of God that will promote and bring the power of change. It does not say change. It brings the power to change. There's a difference than me telling you to change. You need to change. There's a difference between preaching someone to change, or this blessing gives you the power to change. You rise up, and when you rise up, chains fall off of you. Then the third way the blessing was imparted unto people was through the laying on of hands, the power of laying on of hands. Now we're right here in Mark the 10th chapter. We're right here at verse 16. Let's just look at verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way. Do you still have your Bible? When he had gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeling to him. And he asked him, notice what he said, good master. Good master, he said, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, this is the rich young ruler. This is the rich young ruler. This is one of these messages that we really don't want to preach on too much, is the rich young ruler. But notice what he said. He said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, why callest thou me good? For there is none good but one, and that is God. And Jesus said, thou knowest the commandments. He said, you know the commandments. And that's what they were under. They were under the commandments of Moses. And notice here, we do know there were 10 commandments, but notice here, Jesus said these commandments right here. He said, do not commit adultery. He said, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother. So Jesus just mentioned about 6 to 7 of the commandments. He didn't give this guy all 10 commandments. He said, you know the commandments. And he answered and said unto him, he said, Master, notice what this guy said. He said, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. He said, I have observed these and I have basically kept these from my youth, which primarily he really hadn't. Amen. There's no way that he's kept all of these from his youth, but this is what he said. And Jesus now, beholding him, loved him and said unto him. Now Jesus beholding him, looking at him like saying, I can't believe you just said that you've observed these all from your youth. But Jesus loving him and Jesus said unto him, he said, but there's only one thing you lack. Jesus took this to a level beyond what a human possibly could do. He said, there's only one thing you lack. Wouldn't it be good if Jesus came here and just told you the one thing that you lacked? Wouldn't it be good if he told you the one thing that you lacked? I mean, I would like to really, I'd want to know if there was only one thing. But I tell you right now, I'm not running up to him. I'm learning from this guy right here. Because if I ran up to Jesus and said, I've been keeping your word. I tell you right now, I've been keeping your word from a youth. And Jesus beholding me. Loving me. Not wanting to embarrass me. He'd say, come here. Can you turn the mic off a little bit? I got a long list of what you lack, Brian. But this guy, he's rich. He's young like me. There's only one thing that he lacks. And Jesus said these words unto him, go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come take up your cross, take up the cross, and follow me. So these are the same words that he told the disciples. Now, Jesus did not preach this everywhere he went. This is not a message that he was preaching to the general public. He preached this mainly to the disciples. You find him telling the disciples, the 12 disciples, follow me. forsake everything, follow me. You love Jesus? You want to follow Jesus? You want to serve Jesus? I don't see anybody following Jesus to this level right here. I don't see anybody saying, I love your word and I'm going to do anything you want me to do. I'll just do anything you want me to do. I don't see anybody doing this to this level right here. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God he was mainly talking to those people that were going to be in the inside circle. Now, inside Jesus' circle, we already know that one person is a thief, and his name is Judas. And we know that he is the manager of the books. And so we know that in the books and in the treasury, that there's enough money in this treasury where apparently there's not just $3 and Judas is taking a dollar out every week, because if there was only $3 in the treasury, eventually somebody would notice the money missing. So apparently there was enough money just to qualify to have a treasury. It would be like me saying, I have so much money, I have my own CPA and I have my own accountant working personally for me, managing my money. But if I only had about $40, I would not need an accountant. That's right, I couldn't afford one, and I definitely wouldn't need one, because I pretty much can manage $40. I could manage $400. I could manage $4,000. I haven't had the opportunity to manage $40,000, but praise God, I know I can manage $4,000. So apparently, there's enough money in the treasury that Jesus needed a treasurer to manage the money. And so here we got the rich young ruler. This guy is not rich by accident. This guy is a money manager. Jesus said the same words to him that he said only to those 12, take up the cross and follow me. Aren't you glad that your pastor is not telling you to take up the cross and follow Jesus? I think we ought to. Well, if we ought to, in order to do that, then you need to sell everything you got. Give it to the poor. I'm the poor. And I'll be the poor because I am poor according to Donald Trump. If you looked in my account compared to Donald Trump's account, I'm going to be the poor. Do you see how religion has come in here and tampered with a lot of these things? So Jesus actually is trying to recruit this guy to be upon his A-team. We fully believe that just in the same terminology. Now, notice here, verse 22, because we're talking about the blessing, how the blessing is imparted. Number one, it's imparted through knowledge. The next way that the blessing is imparted is through the spoken blessing, speaking the blessing over people. There is a wealth blessing. Hallelujah. There is a wealth blessing that is spoken over people that do not have anything. You don't have to have anything in the checking account to receive this wealth blessing, because it's the wealth blessing that begins to promote you. You should not fight the wealth blessing. You should embrace the wealth blessing. You should not leave the church and saying, well, you know, everything was good that Pastor Brian said, but when he started talking on money, it killed the spirit. That's exactly what we want to do, is kill the spirit. That's a stingy spirit, and we're trying to kill it. And so, you know, it's not about what we're trying to get from you. The wealth blessing should be embraced. And so here, this guy's rich, he's young, he's a manager, but Jesus wants to take him up a notch. He's not wanting to try to get something from him. He's wanting to take him up. Jesus didn't say, hey, I want to make sure you give this money to to my fund, to my ministry right here. No, he didn't say this. So notice now, we're getting ready to see something here that's going to be a blessing unto you. If not, you don't have to give in the offering, but if it does, you give double, praise God. Hallelujah. But notice right here. Now, see this right here. And after Jesus said, come, take up thy cross and follow me, and he was sad. The rich young ruler was sad. Now, do you see up in your footnotes of your Bible up here, the rich young ruler? Do you see that it says the rich young ruler? It says it up here in mine. I don't know what it says up in yours, but mine says the rich young ruler. Everybody agrees that this is the rich. This is the young. This is the powerful right here. This guy is a ruler. I mean, he's got the best camel. He's got a BMW camel. I mean, he's got the best looking garments on. He's rich. He's got the nice jewelry. He's rich. You can tell that he's rich. He's a money manager. He's a money maker. He makes money move. But Jesus is about to take him to another place. But immediately when you start talking about money, automatically it has this effect upon people. But not anybody here. He was sad at the saying. He was very sad at the saying. And went his way. He went his way. He went away. He went away grieved. The word grieved means offended. Offended. He went away offended. The enemy loves to get people offended so they won't receive the wealth blessing. The blessing of Abraham. The wealth blessing. And we are the generation that shall walk in the fullness of the wealth of Abraham. Hallelujah. God will either raise people up in this church through the wealth blessing, or he is also going to bring people in that have wealth, or he's going to bring people in that have no money, but they're able to receive this wealth blessing easier, like a child receives it, easier than these people, many people that have been taught, you know, not to preach about money because the love of money, you know, money's the root of all, and all these things about money, you got to watch out about money. But the majority of all the teaching when it comes to money, where people get their ideology about money, comes from this one chapter right here. So this guy, he went away. He missed it. He went away offended, mad, angry. And of course, I want to let you know, I'm just like Jesus. I have that same charisma blessing because I've had a lot of people get ticked, get chapped, and went away offended. They get offended some way over the issue of wealth. But we read last night that the blessing of the Lord, the it factor. Hallelujah. I got it. Don't you got it? Praise God. What'd you do to get it? Did you have to do something to get it? No, you get it through knowledge. The knowledge of it is activated. How do you get it? Through a prophetic word, an inspired word that's raising you. How do you get it? Through the laying on of hands. We see these principles right here in what Jesus said. So this guy went away. I just want you to see that he went away. He went away. How come? For he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around about, kind of like, wow. And said unto the disciples, because you know this is a private little session right here. This is not a multitude that he's speaking to. He's not preaching to the multitude. This was the disciples, Jesus, and this rich young ruler. And so Jesus made this statement right here. Notice what he said unto the disciples. How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Do you see this? He said that unto the disciples. How hardly? How hard? It is very hard for those that have riches to enter into the kingdom of God. And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again, because they were astonished. Jesus, we can't believe that you said what you said, knowing that we have wealth. Peter wasn't poor. Jesus, in Luke 5, filled his boat. Partners' boats. They had a business. The sons of Zebedee, fishing. They weren't poor. Yes, brother, but Peter took a vow of poverty. No, he didn't take a vow of poverty. He said, silver and gold have I none. Well, what he was referring to that guy that was a beggar, is don't look to money to get healed. You're not going to get healed through money. Do not look to money to get healed. He said, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. There is a greater wealth than looking to me for money. Praise the Lord. So Jesus answered again and said, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? He said, let me clarify it. Did you see this? Make sure you clarify it. Jesus did not say it was hard for those that have riches to enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus clarified it and said unto them that it is very hard for those that trust in riches to enter in and to operate in the system that I have for you, the system of God's kingdom. He said it's hard if you're trusting in your money to enter into this new type of wealth that I have for you. Rich young ruler, he's gone. The disciples are the only ones left for him to talk to about this. And so then Jesus said these words, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And I tried to picture that all my life. How can a camel get through this little eye of a needle? Because I can't even get a thread through there. I mean, how will a camel ever get through the eye of a needle? And I know you know that an eye of a needle is not the actual needle that you sew with, that the eye of the needle is a place in those countries around the gates, when the gates were closed, that there was a tunnel with sharp instruments that would keep people from running through there, and that when the gates were closed, they wouldn't open the gates, and so they would have to make the animals crawl through there, and these animals would refuse, because I tell you right now, camels are very, very rebellious, and they got a mind of their own, and you cannot make them crawl down through there. And so this tunnel with all these sharp instruments was designed in case anybody comes in and tries to rob the city, that when they're running out with their bags, when they go down through there, their bags were going to get hung up. No one could come in. No one could leave with the loot. And there's no way that a camel would go through there. But we do know one thing. Jesus is talking about those that trust. It is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for those that trust in their riches, or the man that trusts in his riches to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure. How come? They were rich people. It wasn't Jesus and his poor disciples and his poor ministry. How can you be poor when your Father created and made, and the law of supply and demand is at your words? When you turn water into wine, when you make a fish burp up a coin, how can you be poor when you got a fish spitting up money? How can you be poor when you fed 5,000 men and women How can you be poor when you have the power to multiply the fish and the loaves? You're not poor. These were not poor people. Jesus did not start off poor. Three wise men began to seek him out from the beginning, and they gave him enough gold, frankincense, myrrh, spices for his total ministry. These people gave enough gold, calculated out right now, to last him all of his ministry on this earth. He had enough resources from these guys, which was directly from the Father, in an endowment for all of his life, and to start the ministry and to preach and to establish the ministry and to establish the disciples. It's proven. So here now they're astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, they're looking among themselves, then who can be saved? Who can be saved? There's not any of us that can be saved, because we're all rich. We all got money. We can't be saved. And Jesus looked upon them and said, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. He said, who can be saved? Jesus said, well, with men it's impossible. But with God working in your heart, not trusting in your money, amen, not allowing money to have you. You can have money, just don't allow it to have you. He said, it is possible with God. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, Lord, 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 can I say something? And notice what Peter said. He said, Lord, he said, we have left all. He's speaking about his boat. He's speaking about his fish. He's speaking about his wore-out net. When Jesus said, let down your nets, he let down a net. He didn't let down no nets. He's thinking about, you know, the family business. We've left all to follow thee. Jesus answered and said, verily. Now, at this point right here, where's the rich young ruler? He's long gone. Do you know he left before he heard the explanation from Jesus? He left before he heard the blessing. Jesus is about to release a powerful spoken blessing that many people have never seen in this story right here. They have tried to identify you with the rich young ruler, how you need to give up and let go and surrender everything unto the Lord. I'd like to see somebody do that. It's like this one guy in my church. He said, I tell you right now, I'm really ticked off. He said, have you seen the car the pastor's wife driving? It really bothers me. So he told another guy this, and he said, it's not right for the pastor's wife to drive a Mercedes. It's not right. I said, wow. Wow. I went out and looked at the car. Toyota Camry. He thinks it's a Mercedes. I'm being persecuted because it's not right to have a Mercedes and my wife is driving a white Toyota. I said, praise the Lord. Apparently, if I'm going to be persecuted, I better have a Mercedes. So I drove over to the Mercedes place in that Toyota, and I measured it up with a white Mercedes. Came home with a white Mercedes. It said, this is the car you're going to drive now. You're already persecuted for it, so you might as well go ahead and drive it. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with your pastor's driving a Mercedes. You ought to be excited that they drive a Mercedes. You ought to get happy when they drive a Mercedes. And that was the first kind of fancy car that we ever drove. The first of one. But then that guy, he said, I tell you right now, I know how to change this situation. He said, I can get on the board. And he said, I know how to get on the church board. He said, if you give $10,000 to the church, they will put you on the board. This guy came to me and said, I want to tell you what this guy's telling everybody. He said he's going to get on the board. He said, the way you get on the board is give $10,000 to the church. I said to this guy, I said, I wish he would try it. You won't get it, do you? Bring that $10,000 in there and just try it, man. I wish you would just try it. I wish there was 100 people that would try it. So I sent word back to that guy and I said, you tell that guy to try it. Take the risk. He never did try it. He was all bark and no bite. Praise God. Hallelujah. So the qualification now to be on my board is that you've got to give $10,000. You want on my board, Freddie? You give me $10,000, I'll put you on the board. I got lots of places to put you. Man, I got a big board. I can put a lot of people on the board. We can just put them on the board. We can just put more board members on there. Praise God. You want to be on Brian Board Ministry Board? You give me $10,000, I'll put you on the board tonight. You're on my board, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So I had this other guy, when I first started preaching over in Arkansas, he came up to me, and he was from another church. I was pastoring right down the road from this church, and he came up to me, and he said, I'm going to start coming to your church. And the other church didn't have a pastor, and they were trying to get me to pastor that church, so I ended up pastoring both churches for a while. So he came up to me, and his name was Paul Osabrook. He said, I go over here to this church, but I'm going to start coming over here to your church. He said, I just want you to know I'm a board member at that church. And I looked at him, I said, a board member? I'm just thinking, you don't look like a board member. You don't talk like a board member. There is no way that church and those people are that dumb to put you on a church board. That's what I'm thinking about this guy. Because this guy just had a mouth that would not quit. I mean, he had packs of cigarettes and he had tattoos, born to lose. And I said, and I'm not against tattoos. I just don't like tattoos that say born to lose. I think if you're going to have a tattoo, it ought to say born to win or something like that. But I mean, I said, now, and this guy just passed away. And I told this story at his funeral. Same story I'm telling you right now. So I'm not criticizing him. I told the whole church. I said, how did you get on the board of that church? He said, I've been going to that church for 7 years, and I am totally bored. I am a board member. He said, I'm bored because there's no power. I'm bored because there's no fire. I'm bored because there's no faith in that church. I'm a board member. Well, the rich young ruler, he left before this blessing was released. Jesus is about to release a wealth blessing that the rich young ruler ran off before. He ran off before it was spoken. Jesus said, verily, because Peter said, you know what you told the rich young ruler about leaving everything? And we left all. And so right here, Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man, amen, there is no man that have left house or brethren, sisters, father, mother, or wife, or children, or land for my sake and the gospel, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this life, in this time, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, lands with persecution, and in the world and the world that is to come, and eternal life. He said, there is no man. He said, I want you to know, Jesus said, there is no man that has ever left anything and given anything that it shall not be returned unto him. So what he was trying to do is not get something actually from the rich young ruler. He was wanting to really bless the rich young ruler with greater wealth than he ever had before. But he left, and Jesus' blessing went to the ground, and it's waiting on someone to pick it up right now. Hallelujah. The wealth blessing that was spoken in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. This blessing that was spoken in the name of Jesus. How much more time do I have? It's 7:30. How much time do I have? I wonder how long I've been preaching right now. How long have I been preaching? About an hour. It's about time to shut up then. Hallelujah. So you see right here now, this spoken blessing that was released from Jesus. This prophetic word that he spoke is a powerful word. When the blessing is spoken unto you, when that blessing is spoken, you speak that blessing until it is formed in you. You speak that same blessing until it's formed in you. And when that blessing is formed in your life, then it will alter your life, and it will cause your life to be headed in the right direction. Whatever blessing is spoken to you, you speak that until it's formed or until it's conceived on the inside of you, until conception is made. When conception is made within the womb or the spirit of a person, I want you to know your life begins to head in the direction of the conception that's taking place on the inside of you. The manifestation of that blessing is just a matter of time. In the natural, it's 9 months. But the manifestation of that blessing is a matter of time. But your conversation holds the key to when it shall take place in your life. You begin to announce your due date. Hallelujah. That's the power of that blessing that Jesus spoke. So, Father, I thank you tonight in Jesus' name. I believe in the name of Jesus. We didn't get too far here, Holy Spirit, tonight, but I believe tonight we got to the place to see this one level about the wealth blessing being released upon your people. It does not matter how much money they have in their checking account or how much they do not have. This wealth blessing will raise them up from the bottom, liberate those that have money, untie their resources that they do have, as they begin to see that as they begin to allow it to flow, that Jesus said that you shall receive the hundredfold blessing. So, Lord, I receive this tonight, and I speak this over your people, this hundredfold blessing on your people in the name of Jesus. I speak this wealth blessing in Jesus' name that you spoke over them and over this rich young ruler that walked away. And we pick this up in the name of Jesus. We do not love money. We do not covet money. We see money as a tool. You want us to be empowered for your kingdom, Father. So I believe in the name of Jesus that the blessing and the wealth blessing is released here tonight upon your people. destroying poverty and the mentality of poverty off of their life. Destroying lack thinking in the name of Jesus. That we see the possibilities. With man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So I thank you tonight in the name of Jesus. We bless you, Father. We receive this tonight in the name of Jesus. We impart it unto your people through your spoken word. And all God's people said amen.